listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
My word is a lamp.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God that was slain. We thank the Lord for this another opportunity to bring forth his word to his people. And we are still in the epistle of Paul to the Romans. And last week, we are in chapter 8. Last week we stopped at verse 26. And we're going to be continuing from there. So keep in tune and allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you into all truth. We are going to pray and begin. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you again for this another opportunity to bring forth your word. We thank you for your love towards us. Your word said that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. We thank you, O God, that you demonstrated that love at the cross when you, O God, gave up your life so that we can live. Thank you, O God, for the new life that we have in you. Thank you, O God, for the hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you, O God, for the access to your throne room, Almighty God, through the blood of our Lord Jesus. And thank you, O God, Almighty Lord Jesus, that you are with us and in us, and that you enable us when we are unable. So we thank you again for your word, O God, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We thank you, O God, that your word illuminates our path, that we do not stumble. We thank you, O God, for your blessed Holy Spirit, who guides us into all truth. And we pray in the name of Jesus, O God, as truth is revealed to us, that we will act upon your truth. Lord, we thank you again that we will be people who practice your word and not only hearers, but doers of your word. We thank you again for your word this evening, which is already anointed, O God. We thank you that your word is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank you that your word pierces the deep recesses of our heart, bringing forth change. Lord, we thank you for the change that is coming to the body of Christ. We thank you for the spiritual awakening coming to the world. And we thank you, O God, that your people will be on fire for you. We bless and honor and give you glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray and we say amen. Amen. So we continue from verse 26, where we stopped last week. The word said, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot even be uttered. People of God, the Holy Spirit is always interceding for us. He knows exactly how to pray for us. The word says we don't even know how to pray. We don't even know what we should pray for as we ought to pray, but he knows everything. He's all-knowing. People of God, he's omniscient. He's all-knowing. So he knows exactly what he should pray for us for. So we want to yield to the Holy Spirit. We want to be sensitive to him. We want to allow him, people of God, to lead us and to guide us in our everyday life. We don't want, only want him for our spiritual life. We want him for our emotional life. We want him for our mental life. We want him for our physical life. We want him for our social life. We want him in every area of our lives, people of God. So we want to yield to him and allow him to take control of every area of our lives. He's there to help us in every area. The word said he prays for us, people of God. What a consolation that the people of God have to know that the Holy Spirit prays for us. But sometimes, to be truthful, we don't even know how to pray or what we ought to pray for. But he's the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit himself, makes intercession, intercedes on our behalf, takes our prayer to Abba for us with groanings which cannot even be uttered from our mouth. Look on verse 27 of Romans 8. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He that searcheth the heart, the Holy Spirit examines our hearts and our minds and our motives. He knows exactly how to pray for us. He makes intercession according to the will of God. And many times we pray and we say, Lord, let your will be done. But he knows exactly what the will of God is for us. So he prays according to the will of God. Many times we pray, but we pray amiss. As the word said, we pray to heap up all that we are asking for on our own selves. But he knows exactly how to pray according to the will of God for us. So we need to draw close to the Holy Spirit. We need to be in partnership with him. We need to walk hand in hand with him daily. We need to know his voice. We need to hear him. We need to know that still small voice, that gentle voice whispering to us and showing us the path that we should take. We need, people of God, to be an intimate fellowship with the Holy Spirit, for he comes to live with us and in us. He comes to be our comforter, our helper. He is here with us, people of God, and let us not grieve him away. The word tells us that we can grieve him away. We grieve him away, people of God, when we turn to our old ways and do our own thing. But he's calling us to listen to his voice and follow him. Let us not quench him. When he said move, let us move. Let us come to that place of being obedient to the Spirit of God. Look at verse 28 of Romans 8. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Paul said, we know, we have that assurance that all things work together for good to them that what? That love God. Do we love him, people of God? We have to ask ourselves, do we truly love God? So the word is saying, all things work together for good to them that love God. And many times we hear, you know, people might quote this verse, but they leave out that section that says to them that love God. So all things will work together for our good. It might not look good. It might not feel good what is happening to us at the time, but it is working out for our good. Because what? It's working out for the good of those that love God. So God is working on our behalf. The circumstance might be difficult. It might be trying. It might be really tough on you. But it is working out for your good because you love God. To them who are what? Called according to his purpose. So for his purpose to be fulfilled in us, people of God, many times we go through hardship. We go through trying times. We go through testings that sometimes we wonder, am I able to bear it? But the word of God tells us that he's faithful and just, whatever we are going through, to prepare a way of escape for us. So people of God, whatever we're going through, let us see that it is working together. It might not feel like it's working together for our good, but the word said it is working together for our good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And we're going to see in verse 29, his purpose here in verse 29. Look at verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Look on the purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. For whom the father knew beforehand, whom he pre-appointed to salvation, he also predetermined that those who come to Christ will be what? Conformed to his image, will fit into the image of Christ. That's the purpose of the Father, for us to fit into the image of his dearly beloved Son. We are called to resemble Christ in every area of our lives. We are called to look like Christ, who is the firstborn son. And we look and see in a family, people of God, the firstborn son is always the one who we look up to. He's always the example. The parents are always warning him. You have to set example for the younger ones. And Christ himself, he's the model son. He is the prototype, the model son among many brothers. People of God, he has called us to model him, to imitate him. Jesus said, follow me, imitate me, emulate me, live like me. So God's purpose for us, people of God, is to be conformed to the image of his son. And many times we are saying, Lord, what is your purpose for me? But people of God, we must come to understand that the Father's purpose for us here on earth is to show forth Christ, to be Christ-like, to conform to the image of his beloved son. We want to be like Christ. That's our main purpose here, is to be the image bearer of Christ Jesus, to be Christ-like in every area of our lives. Our purpose is to conform to his image, not to conform to the world. But many times we find ourselves conforming to the world, looking like the world more than how we look like Jesus. But Christ is calling us to renew our minds with his word. So when we respond in this life, we will respond according to his word. When our minds are completely renewed, people of God, we are going to show forth the glory and praise of Jesus Christ. We are going to be conformed to his image, fit into his image. We are going to look like Christ, sound like him, live like him, be kind like him, be compassionate like him, love like him. Jesus himself said, when you start to show love one for another, then the world will know that you are my disciples. The world will see me in you. The world will see and know that these people belong to Christ. So we are called to fit into that image. We are called to live like Christ, to love like him, to walk like him in every aspect of our lives. That's the Father's purpose for us, people of God, to be conformed to the image of his son. And as we yield to the Holy Spirit in our lives, as we allow him to live the new life through us, we are going to see more of Christ seen in us, more of Christ, less of us, more of Christ. John the Baptist cried out, I must decrease, so Christ will increase. So we also must cry out and say, I must decrease, so Christ will increase in my life. More love, more power. We must go forth in the power and in the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 30 of Romans chapter 8. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. People of God, whom he did predestinate, God planned before the foundation of the world those that would become like Christ through spiritual regeneration. So that was already pre-planned. God already pre-planned those that would become like Christ through spiritual regeneration. When you look on the word called, that's a sovereign call, a sovereign summon that opens the heart of humanity and draws them to Christ. John 6:44 said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. That was Jesus speaking. And I will raise him up at the last day. So people of God, there's a calling. The Holy Spirit is wooing. The Holy Spirit is wooing. But we, people of God, have to come to that place of accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The word justified, God declares that we are righteous when we put our trust in Jesus. We are declared righteous. A righteous declaration is placed on those who have placed their trust in Jesus. So we are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. And we can't be justified, as I said before, and condemned at the same time. So we are justified, those that have put their trust in Jesus. So whom he called, them he also justified. He declared you righteous. He didn't just call you and leave you like that. You are now declared righteous. Go free. Walk in the freedom that I've given you. Don't walk in bondage anymore. We are no more slaves to fear. We are no more slaves to sin. We are no more in bondage and because of the fear of death. No, but we, people of God, through Christ Jesus, through being justified by his blood, we now are free to walk in the freedom that he has given us. The word said, and those that he justified, them he also glorified. When you see the word glorified, and this is the final stage of our salvation, people of God. Our future glorification is spoken of in the past tense. Because what? It is so sure. It is so certain that we will be with Christ. We will be like him. We will share in his glory. People of God, the word tells us in Colossians 1:27, Christ in us, the hope of glory. So we see, people of God, that we are called, we are justified, and we are also glorified with Christ Jesus, our Lord. We also share in his glory. So we have to understand, people of God, who we are in Christ and walk in our identity. Walk as children of light. Walk as those that are redeemed, not with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 31 of Romans 8. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Those are questions, people of God, that Paul asks. And you know that he always answers. So he said, what shall we say to all these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can stand before God? Who can challenge him? If we are God's people and we know that God is for us, he's not against us, he's for us. So who can really stand against us? People of God. And these are confident talk, people of God. We don't just talk these words. We must speak with confidence. If God be for us, who can be against us? Look at verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but deliver him up for us all. He didn't spare Jesus, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Let us stop and people of God and think on this verse. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Christ Jesus died on the cross for us. He had no sin of his own. He bore our sins. He became our sin bearer. He was the substitute. We should have been hanging there, people of God. For the word tells us the wages of sin is death. We were plunging to death. We were plunging to darkness. But Jesus Christ, the Savior, the strong deliverer, the one who came to rescue us, he took our sin. He bore them on the cross. He took our shame. He took our pain. He took all our infirmities. He took our griefs, our sorrow, everything that was against us. He took it to the cross. The word of God said he spared not his own son. He did not spare the only beloved and begotten son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he? Look at what Paul said. How shall God? How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Remember, we are co-heirs with Christ. How shall he not with him? So we are joint inheritors. Shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Look at verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who is the one who is going to condemn God's elect? We are elected by him. We are chosen by him. Who is going to lay any condemnation, any charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. People of God, we must be bold. We must speak clearly so that the enemy will understand that we know and understand who we are. We are mature sons and daughters of God. So we understand our rights and privileges in the kingdom. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? How many times, people of God, we know that we are justified, but we want to feel condemned as well. Condemnation wants to take us over. But we remember, people of God, that even if our heart condemns us, because God is greater than our heart. And the word of God says that he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who is the one that is going to stand before us and lay any charge to God's elect? The word said it is God that justifies. It is God who declares us righteous. He is the righteous judge. And he said, go free, my child. You are free because you have put your trust in Jesus Christ. So he is the one who set us free. So it is God that justifies. He is the one that declares us righteous. Look at verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So people of God, we need to ask, who is he that condemns? Who is the one that is condemning me? It is Christ that died for me, and he doesn't condemn me. So we have to come to understand that there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. So who is he that is condemning me? Who is he that is condemning us? It is Christ that died. He is the one that paid the sin debt for us. He is the one that redeems us. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even? Where is he now? He's at the right hand of the Father who makes intercession for us. So the Holy Spirit is here interceding for us on earth. Christ is in heaven interceding for us. People of God, we are covered. We are covered on every side. For we have to understand and speak with boldness. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? We are God's elect. The word said we didn't choose him, but he chose us and ordained us. He's the one who appointed us. So people of God, we should know who we are in Christ Jesus and walk by faith, trust in him, knowing that, people of God, it is he who died for us and he does not condemn us. But he said if we sin, we should confess our sins, for he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if we sin, people of God, let us not go around walking in guilt and shame, but run to him and say, Jesus, I've sinned. Please forgive me. And he will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So he sits at the right hand of the Father and he makes intercession for us. Look at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who is going to separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? When you look at this verse, he said, who? Speak of a person. But when you look at all these things coming, many times it comes through some personal encounter, this persecution and all those things. So Paul said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? When tribulation comes, are we going to allow it to separate us from the love of Christ? Christ's love is always steadfast, people of God. Christ's love never fails. It never ends. So when we come to understand the love that Christ has for us, then we understand that nothing shall separate us from his love. When tribulation comes, let us remember that Christ's love remains steadfast. When distress comes, Christ's love remains steadfast. People of God, when persecution comes, Christ's love remains steadfast. When famine comes, Christ's love remains steadfast. When nakedness or danger or sword, when war rise up against us, Christ's love remains steadfast. And people of God, he always fights for his children. He has already won the victory for us. So people of God, we are to go forth with confidence and to know the God we serve, to know that we are his and he belongs to us, to know that people of God, he's for us. God is not against us. And that is what people of God, we need to grasp this truth, that God is not against us. Many times we think he's against us. But he said, if we sin, don't stay in your sin. Confess your sin. For he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And we are to know that nothing at all, nothing can separate us from his love. The word said, oh, people of God, that he so loved us and he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The word tells us that he demonstrated that love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet in our sinful state, he died for us. So nothing at all can separate us from the love of God. His love is unending. His love is from everlasting to everlasting. His word tells us that he loves us with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness, he has drawn us to himself. So nothing can separate us from the love of God. Look at verse 36 of Romans 8. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. People of God, we have to understand, for the sake of Christ, we will be killed all the day long. We will be persecuted. We will go through trials. We will go through persecution. We will go through hardship. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome. We have to understand that Christ has overcome. And because he has overcome, we are also overcomers. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. We are going to be slaughtered many times. But let us know, people of God, many times we'll be cast down, but we are not destroyed because we bear in our body the mark of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. We are going to go through rough times, hardship coming, but nothing at all can separate us from his love. Nothing at all can separate us from the steadfast love that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We thank God for his word this evening to us. We thank God for reminding us that he is for us and not against us. He is our God. He is the one that did not spare his only son, the only begotten, the only beloved son. He did not spare him, but he delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him? How shall he not with him? Remember, we are co-heirs. So how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Bless the name of Jesus. We just thank God for his word. Thank God for what he's doing in our lives and what he's saying to us through these scriptures. And we pray that we will hide these words in our hearts, that we will not sin against God, and we will walk confidently knowing that he is for us and not against us. God bless you all. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for your word to us this evening. We thank you for what you're doing in the hearts of your people. And we thank you for the change that is coming to the body of Christ. We thank you for the revival, oh God, that there will be a hunger and thirst for more of you, that we will pant after you as a deer pant after the water brook. So we give you thanks and praise and look to you by faith as we give you thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you all for listening. And we pray that as you continue to hear the word of God, that you will practice these words and go forth in power to do the will of God. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend. Blessings. Amen.
The Lord is love. Reproofs of instruction.
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us and 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp.